Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 23rd, 2010 Carrboro Board of Aldermen public hearing meeting. Let's see. We have four public hearings and two business items scheduled. I understand. I haven't seen a copy of it, but I understand there was. Was there a request about
number three?
About number two, the outdoor lighting standards issue.
There was an email from Jay.
Oh, okay. Has the NTAAC reviewed this or?
They haven't completed.
Yeah, they want more. They haven't one more time to finish and make recommendations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they met last night.
No, we got an email saying that they would like more time to.
Right.
I don't think we lose anything if we give people additional time on that
nope.
issue.
No,
I don't. I mean, it's up to.
Well, especially yeah, since I mean, I'm so involved with it. I mean.
Yeah.
Steve, do you all have any concerns about continuing that again?
I don't think we do, but we do have someone in the audience that was here last time representing some of the apartment complexes that is here tonight. But from a staff standpoint, I think we're fine.
And we would apologize for continuing it. We just want to make sure that we have all the information we need.
Okay, so I'll take that as a motion to set this over to our March public hearing.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. Matter passed unanimously.
And that'll be the 23rd of March.
It should be, yeah, the 23rd.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Because there's only 28 days in February.
So you can go get your complexes ready for the next big snowstorm.
Oh, don't say that.
That's quite all right. I understand
we're going to
speak to her.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks
for being flexible.
Thanks, Mr. Roman.
And then
we had also asked for a continuation of the
number three.
Three.
Sorry, okay, so. What are we doing with that, then?
Continuing two, and we've been asked to continue three until the 25th of May.
Okay. All right.
So I'd like to move that we continue two until March, public hearing date, and three until May 25th.
Second.
Okay. And moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously.
Mark?
Yes.
Before we move on, in our board manager memo on the advisory board training, the last line says, staff recommends that the board make this training mandatory for all current and future advisory board members. Is that something you were wanting us to take action on?
Steve? Well, we wanted to plant the seed and have you think about that. We are, I think the training is coming up late next month, and our concern mm-hmm. is trying to have some sort of standard for all the advisory board members to meet by having that training, either going to that training session or we'll also have it on a DVD that folks could watch
okay.
at a later
so
date.
You could put that on our upcoming agenda between now and then.
And just because it's connected with that, a question I had was, is there a component of that that's separate or within that for chairs, since
I'm not sure that there is, but let me ask Matt, because Matt's been working directly with Fleming Bell.
Okay. There will be a small component of the training under the section titled Conducting Effective Meetings for the Chairs of the Advisory Boards.
And, you know, we have a couple of new chairs who are interested in getting some, you know, real clear guidelines about you know, just how business is conducted internally and potentially externally. Will that also be part of that for chairs? Or
I believe so. If there's anything you'd like to see added to the training, Professor Bell is still developing the program, so you can forward it to me and I'll contact him and make sure it's part of the training.
Great. Thanks.
I think one thing that needs to be included in the training, and I don't know whether Fleming will include this or not, but that Advisory board chairs do not independently speak for the town. They can certainly speak as citizens, anybody, anywhere they want, but they do not independently speak for the town or represent themselves as doing so, because we've run into that with a couple board chairs in the past year or so. So if that could be, you know, the kind of protocol of representing the town, it'd be great if he could hit on that.
Okay, I'll make a note of that and forward it to Professor Bell.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
Anything further on that?
Good job. That's what I think the next turn.
The next item on our agenda is a public hearing to obtain community input on town needs and budget for upcoming fiscal year 2010-11. Mr. Manager, did you have a presentation?
I have a brief one. Before we get to that, could we go back just a second to the affordable housing item? There was a resolution that asked that you all consider designating board members to work with staff and community members that you might want to consider so that you could be working with that group before the May 25th hearing.
Is that what you need, Trey?
It's resolution attachment A2.
We would be appointing people to do what?
To work with staff and other community members on coming up with some recommendations.
As far as, okay.
I'm sorry, let me add.
I'd be glad to be one of those since I'm our liaison to the Home Trust.
I'd be interested in being one.
Well, looks like we have.
There you go.
Okay, that was a motion and a second.
I have a concern. Yeah. We have some discussion. I mean, are we not discussing this agenda item, or did we continue the agenda?
We continued it to the 25th of May.
And if you I would like us not to make this decision until after we deal with the agenda item, because I think we need to have the discussion of the proposals and know what, if anything, we want to do at this time before we set up some kind of committee.
But isn't the committee to come back, and wouldn't they be providing, and staff can clarify this for me if I'm wrong. From what I understood, they were going to work and then to get us there so that when we come to the hearing, there'll be things for us to discuss. So, I mean...
So the idea is you're going to meet with them between now and March 23rd?
No, May 25th.
Oh, May
23rd.
Yeah,
it's all the way
to May 25th. So that's...
Yes, that is the idea.
6 weeks. I'm not counting right because I don't have my calendar.
Okay, well, if we have 3 months, then I would like us to put this topic of this, what this committee is and what it's tasked to do, on an agenda item when we're prepared to discuss it, because I feel like it needs some discussion. And
okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Sure.
Is there a possibility of shooting for like next week on that, Mr. Manager, so that we can?
We don't meet.
Not
next
meeting
week.
Next week.
We're not meeting next week. That's right.
We're meeting on the 9th.
2 weeks.
That's a work session night. If you all want to do that, we tried to reserve that time primarily for the local living economy task force.
Okay, no, let's not infringe on that. So it would be 3 weeks from now.
Any time to discuss it Sunday?
Yeah.
That's up to you all.
I'd be willing to discuss it then. I'm more willing to discuss it then than now.
And Dan, if you want to be on that committee.
You can be on that committee.
I'm questioning what it is we need. I'm not questioning
who's okay. Let's reserve
Sunday.
Some time for that discussion on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
thank
then
you
I'll be able to think about the issues.
Yeah, me too. Exactly.
That might be involved. Okay. Item one is a public hearing to obtain community input on town needs and budget for upcoming fiscal year 2010.
Okay. I have some brief comments. You all know I normally don't comment on this pre-budget hearing, but we're in somewhat unusual times. I believe we only have one speaker signed up, and some of this we'll talk about again on Sunday. but for the benefit of those in the audience here and watching on TV, I thought it might be important to share a few thoughts and a few numbers with everybody. And I want to start off by talking a little bit about what we did in preparation for the current year's budget, and this will be a repeat for you all. But as you know, we held off on a number of capital items. We froze a number of positions. We held the line on most of the operating expenses. There were no salary increases. We did increase funding for the nonprofits. We maintained a revenue-neutral tax rate following the revaluation process. We budgeted revenues very conservatively, including a 9.3% reduction in sales tax revenues. And the commitment that I made and you all supported last year to all of the town employees was that we would do everything possible to maintain current active employees' jobs and fringe benefit packages, including no furloughs, no layoffs, no salary reductions. We were able to accomplish that in this budget year. Looking briefly at our current year revenues and some projections for next year, it looks like through January that our property tax revenues we think will be on target. Again, we were very conservative, and you all know that's our single largest revenue source. Sales tax revenues, a little bit hard to read. We were declining for the first several months of the fiscal year. We had a positive adjustment in revenues in October, but it was based on some incorrect coding, I think, at the state level. We're not sure what time period that covers, so it sort of skews the trend, but it looks like, based on where we are now, that we think we will meet our budget estimate. But again, remember, that's 9.3% less than what we had budgeted for last year. So it's a pretty significant reduction, even if we meet budget. The economy, I think, is going to continue to put pressure on sales tax. Based on the best information we have at this point, it looks like both property tax revenues and sales tax revenues will be flat or maybe a slight increase for next year. And you all know that the Orange County has at least looked at the distribution formulas for the sales tax. And while we don't anticipate a change there, if there were a change, that would have about $1 million negative impact on the town of Carrboro. And to put that in perspective, we collect about $3 million. So it would reduce that amount by roughly a third and would be a pretty significant change.
I'm sorry,
change.
Could you explain that a little bit more, what the county's proposing?
No, they're not proposing anything. They just, for the first time in at least 25 years, they did an analysis of the two methods that are available to them through state law of distributing sales tax. For at least the last 25 years, the county's distributed it based on population. The other methodology is based on ad valorem taxing effort by all the jurisdictions in the county. Each April, all 100 counties have the option of choosing either of those distribution methods. If the method were based on ad valorem tax effort, based on last year's collections, then the town of Carrboro would see its sales tax revenues reduced by about $1 million. There's no indication the county's considering that, but they've got those numbers, and I wanted you all to be aware of that's a unilateral decision. That's not something they have to ask anybody.
And then they could take the difference and put it in their own coffers.
Part of it would be redistributed back to the fire districts, part of it to the school system. Mm-hmm. I think Hillsboro would lose about $250,000, Chapel Hill about $2.5 million. I think the county would net roughly $1 million, and the rest of it would be distributed out to some of the other taxing entities in the county. Again, according to the county manager, that's information at this point, not something that he anticipates would happen, but it's
across their mind, basically.
Well, it would cross ours too.
It's an option. Yeah. I mean, they're like everybody else. They're pushed for revenues, yeah. And
there aren't any bad guys.
That would mean reduction in services here or a tax increase or a combination. I mean, there's not any way we can absorb $1 million, especially when you hear a couple of other things.
Electoral revolution is what it would mean. But anyway, since it would involve, you know, them forcing a several cent tax increase onto both Chapel Hill and Carrboro, it would be the, I mean, that would be the effect of a move like that.
Right. Well, again, I'm not aware of any serious consideration.
No, I'm just saying that's. Let's keep it that way.
But that option
is what I'm saying.
That option's out there. Final thing on the revenue piece is that our local revenues and the possibility of being pushed to take on some state services is certainly going to be on the table, I think, this year, as the, I believe the state's budget situation is going to be as difficult, if not more difficult, in the coming fiscal year than it was in the current year. Looking briefly on the expenditure side, I'm full of good news tonight. So, right off the bat, the new fire station, which is moving right along and expect to open it up later this spring, we'll be adding three new firefighters to complete the complement of staffing for the station. We'll have the operating and maintenance cost for that facility and the full debt service payment in the first year. That will add over $500,000 in additional expenses to the fire department budget right off the bat when we start the budget July 1. Mm. I sent you all out some information, I guess probably a couple months ago. The local government employees retirement system has lost a good bit of its value over the last 2 years. The Board of Trustees made a decision to increase the employer contribution rate effective July 1 from 4.85% to 6.35% to all local governments who participate in the local government employees retirement system to make sure that system stays solvent, and that's a good thing for local government employees. It's the first increase in that rate since 1983, but the system lost, while it didn't lose as much as many other public pension plans across the country, it still lost a significant amount of money, about 20% of its value. And the contributions by the employers like the town of Carrboro, and every town employee contributes as well, that only makes up about 20 to 25% of the entire investment fund. The bulk of the investment or of the retirement system funding is made up of investments. About 75 to 80% is investment. So a drop in the stock market had a significant impact on that. But again, that's something that will cost us over $100,000 next year. So those two things alone will be close to $700,000 in new expenses that we didn't have this year. We are, you know, continuing to look at funding for the nonprofits and looking at a CPI, Consumer Price Index, increase for nonprofits. We expect utility costs to increase. Duke Energy's announced increases. PSNC Energy's announced a rate increase coming up, I think, next month, so we've got to deal with that. We hope not, but there's still a possibility we might have to look at spending some money in preparation of taking the town's solid waste somewhere other than the current landfill. If it turns out to be Durham or someplace like that, that at least 2 years from now will have an extremely significant impact on the town's budget. Perhaps not this next year, but it would likely mean additional equipment, additional personnel, additional fuel cost, and certainly an impact on the carbon footprint that now exists with our current solid waste operations. We're still awaiting word on health insurance. We haven't gotten any information yet on renewal. We expect to get that hopefully next month, but I won't be surprised if we don't see some kind of an increase based on claims for the first few months of the fiscal year. We've talked with employees already about the possibility of at least perhaps looking at increasing copays and deductibles. We hope not to do that, but we need to make sure we have a plan that's affordable not only for the town but for the many employees who have coverage other than just employee only coverage. We'll likely need to continue what I call a soft freeze on some of our positions, where, you know, we analyze every position when it comes open to see if it's one that we can freeze or we need to fill, and we've got several that have been frozen for some time. Like last year, I've had employee meetings to let folks basically know what I'm telling you all tonight. I've made a pledge again to our employees that we would do everything possible to protect our current employees' jobs and our fringe benefit package, and that we would do everything we could to avoid any kind of furloughs, layoffs, or salary reductions. That may mean that there's little, if anything, this coming year to be able to get back to funding any of our pay-for-performance system, which wasn't funded this year, or to implement any of the suggestions that might be made in the pending update of our pay and classification plan. Again, our number one priority, at least at the staff level, is to protect current jobs, and I really think our employees, for the most part, understand that and appreciate that. We need to continue to try to keep our key vehicles and equipment replaced and in good operating condition, particularly as we're working with fewer people. We want to make sure our employees have the equipment that they need to serve the community. We don't want to have to spend a lot of money on maintenance and not be able to get the services out to the community and ask our employees to work with things that aren't safe or aren't getting the job done. We haven't done that. We haven't sacrificed safety. We haven't sacrificed level of services, and hope that we won't have to do that. In addition to all of that, this won't come as a surprise to you all, I don't think. We have, I have said to our department heads and to our employees in our meetings that I pledge to you all and to the community we're going to do everything we can to avoid bringing a budget to you all with a tax increase in May. So it's all pretty challenging. I think in some respects more challenging for us this coming year than it was in the current year. We'll be lucky to be able to continue just to do what we've been doing. I don't see that there's any room for new programs or expansion of existing programs unless we cut somewhere else or we look at a tax increase being imposed. This 2010-2011 budget will be my 32nd budget, and out of those, two of those were two-year budgets. This year and what I've seen so far for next year, I believe, are the two toughest budget years that I've ever experienced. And I've seen some really good times and I've seen some tough times, but this is a very difficult time economically for the community. I think we're in really good, solid financial condition, but we need to stay that way. So a lot of pressure. Again, I think our employees understand that. They know that they need to look at every way possible that they can maintain services with current levels of expenditures, and if at all possible, we need to try to find ways to reduce our costs. So that's hopefully a quick overview.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun spring. Thank you for the diligence that you and the staff put into CERT, and I hope people realize just how lucky we are to have you all and that you do hold the line. I read this morning that gas could go up to $3 a gallon this summer. Are we factoring in increases in fuel costs?
We are factoring in. You know, it's a guessing game. George and his folks have done a really good job the last several years of guessing right. And we probably, I think it was 2 years ago, we asked you all to put in a $20,000 fuel contingency.
Right.
I'm sure we'll be asking that you do that again because our crystal ball may not stay as clear as it has the past couple of years.
Thank you.
Okay. I have two people signed up to speak on this for the public hearing. First, Ellen Perry.
Well, I came up here to really talk to you all about case management. Case management, I'm working on a service definition for case managers now. And they have four components, and only four. They can't take us any place. They're not able to transport us anymore. Who's going to transport us? Who's going to help people with disabilities get to the doctor? Who's going to help them get to the grocery store? How are we supposed to get around? Case management has to stay the same, guys. And I am fighting. I am going over to Raleigh tomorrow to fight them again, to fight with BMA. And I am fighting, and I'm winning a little bit of battle, just a little bit. But I keep losing the battle, too. Okay? And I just found out about this last week, about the case management meetings. And this is over at DMA, the division, the Department on Medical Assurance. And that's a biggie. So I wanted to let you all know what was happening, really. And I appreciate the staff so much. I am willing to volunteer to do my job if y'all need me to. Okay?
All right.
I love it.
Thanks, Ellen.
You know, we are said tonight we'll set the date for our meeting with the state legislature for our breakfast, and certainly I know on all of our list, mental health reform was high up there, and we'll put case management for people with other disabilities up there as well.
All right. That's a great point. All right. Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks, Ellen.
The other person I have signed up is Robert Dowling.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Robert Dowling, the Executive Director of Community Home Trust. First off, I'd like to thank as a citizen, I'd like to thank the manager for the good care he takes of the town and the department heads in Carrboro. I think we do a great job of taking care of citizens. So thank you for that. And thank you to the board for having made these difficult decisions in very difficult times. I know this is it's hard everywhere you turn, and it's very difficult. So I'm going to shift from that somber tone to some good news. The Home Trust had a good year in 2009. We sold 36 homes, which is a lot of homes to sell, and five of those were in Carrboro. And we brought in this fiscal year, we brought in $140,000 of state subsidy to subsidize our homes. So we haven't been using our home funds, which the Home Committee is probably not going to be thrilled about, but I try to bring in that outside money first and use our local money second. So we're doing well. Our inventory is now up to 165 homes, and we expect to sell 40 homes in 2010. We've already sold four, I think. This is being driven in Chapel Hill by inclusionary housing with East 54 and Greenbridge. So that by the end of this year, 2010, we expect to have close to 200 homes. And we expect to bring in five new homes in Carrboro in calendar year 2010. And our inventory at that time will be about 25 homes in Carrboro. So that's, I think, all very good news. More good news is we are asking you for the same allocation we've asked for the past couple of years, $34,000. And hopefully the manager can fit us into the budget, because I know there's not much room there. I provided you all with a memo and a budget. Hopefully you have that. We're projecting a $51,000 deficit next year, and we can absorb a $51,000 deficit. We're in good financial shape. The good news about selling a lot of homes is we take a fee on every home we sell, and so we are in good financial shape, and I think we'll be fine in 10-11. 11-12, as the manager says, it's going to be another year. And the reason we have a deficit, essentially, is we have not imposed a freeze in our organization because the volume of work has increased so much in the past couple of years that it's just impossible to do it with the horses we have. We have six full-time people, four part-time, and what we're doing in the new fiscal year is we're going to replace a part-time person with a full-time person. And that just means higher salary and fringe benefits and the like. But I think it's all good news. I think what we're doing, I think we're learning more and more about our business, and we very much appreciate the support that you all have provided us for all these years. So thank you.
All
Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on the budget priorities for next year? Okay. If not, Giles, I see you're signed up here for item number two, but we've actually delayed that till next month. So we have the item that you are signed up to speak on has been postponed until March 23rd. But we are happy to have you with us, nonetheless. All right. So, anything else for the staff on the budget hearing?
Not on the budget. I would like to say something about something else. It won't take long. Actually, I don't know how many people know, but the Carrboro High School swim team, the men were number one and the women were number two in the state Division 1A. Statewide meet, and so they are champions, and we should give them a big hand.
And great coach. They were coached by Annie Art, who's my stepdaughter. That's right. And she does not come by me. But they're going before the school board. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, yeah, we are so very proud of Carrboro High School. Yes.
When the investment we made in the town swimming pool paying off.
You mean through our county tax bills?
Yeah.
Let's see. Agenda item four, I believe, is what we're on. Public hearing on land use ordinance text amendment relating to alternative design review process for downtown development.
So a draft ordinance that establishes a two-tiered approach to the approval of alternative architectural designs in downtown developments has been prepared. The Board of Aldermen has asked to receive public comment before taking action on the amendment.
Trish, you have a presentation.
For everyone. Good evening. I'm doing the old-fashioned presentation before with highlighters.
Oh, can we afford them?
We can.
Don't waste them.
They better last a year.
We're lighting it up anyway. Okay, so this draft ordinance is in front of you in response to some review of the use of the architectural standards for downtown developments for projects that have come before the Board of Aldermen. At the present time, Section 15.178 of the ordinance spells out eight standards, architectural standards for new development in the downtown. And it also includes, and the highlighter and arrows point to the section here, the subsection that allows applicants to pursue an alternative design approval process if they aren't able to meet one or more of the specified standards. And that current process allows an applicant to go with meet with the Appearance Commission, review the proposed design, and for the Appearance Commission to make a determination as to whether or not the design meets the purpose and intent of the architectural standards, which are spelled out in the ordinance, in the introductory language of the ordinance, but specifically talk about medium-rise buildings, the character of buildings being consistent with the historic architecture of the town, but also seeking to see creativity creativity included in the newly built environment in Carrboro's downtown. So the draft ordinance will make changes to this part of Section 15.178 by establishing a two-tiered process. Essentially, currently all projects that are not going to meet any of the standards would go to the Appearance Commission for their certification. And the draft will create this breakdown where projects that would require zoning permits will go to the Appearance Commission, and the Appearance Commission would then certify to the Zoning Administrator, Development Review Administrator, that the projects did meet the purpose and intent of the of this section of the ordinance. And then in the second tier, projects that would require special use or conditional use permits would go to the Appearance Commission for review, but the actual certification would lie with the permit issuing authority, so either the Board of Adjustment or the Board of Aldermen. And that would be the that is essentially the change by creating by breaking this down into those groups. The ordinance has been reviewed by the Planning Board, who found made a recommendation to adopt it, and also found the changes consistent with Vision 2020 policies related to character of the downtown and recognizing interests of various members of the community and so forth, so flexibility essentially about our development. The Appearance Commission reviewed the change as well and did not recommend making this change. I did want to also just make one edit in the resolution. If you choose to act on the ordinance tonight and it's in support of it, the resolution adopting the statement finding the ordinance consistent, I would just recommend changing it, this language here, to show, to reference Vision 2020. It's a correction, an edit. So I'm happy to try and answer any questions.
Yes, ma'am. So what was the basis for them not recommending it? The Appearance Commission, because it's, I mean, it's a one sentence no, and so I would be more comfortable voting on the proposal if I knew what the rationale was.
We have one member of the Appearance Commission here who it might like to speak to that, or I have heard through staff what was said.
I'm sure you can make an accurate representation of it.
Are you Lauren?
Yes, I'm.
Oh, Lauren signed up to speak. So
we'll, oh, okay.
We'll
I'm
just,
sorry.
We'll hear from him for in just.
Okay,
a minute.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were signed up. I apologize.
Okay. Are there? Why don't we go ahead and hear from you, Mr. Branford? And
is he the only one signed up?
Yeah, he is. So why don't we go ahead and come on up and we can continue the discussion with staff if necessary following that.
Well, I just had one page of comments. I'm a member of the Carborough Appearance Commission, and I oppose the draft ordinance amending Section 15-178 of the Land Use Ordinance as simply unnecessary. The Appearance Commission has been responsible and judicious in our approach to our existing limited authority under 15-178. In every case that I've been involved in, we have carefully weighed the design standards outlined in the Land Use Ordinance against each project team's proposed alternative design, arriving each time at a consensus about what to accept. The Appearance Commission is the appropriate venue for these strictly design and appearance issues to be addressed and settled. In addition, the proposed change to Section 15-178 would require project teams who are seeking special use and conditional use permits to make their alternative design presentations an additional time, once to the Appearance Commission seeking our recommendation, and then again to the Board of Aldermen seeking the Board's approval. Such duplicate presentations are not a good use of either the applicant's or the Board of Aldermen's time. A more effective way to streamline the process for projects to meet Section 15-178's architectural standards for downtown development would be to reduce the street wall glazing percentages required in 15-178A2. The current standards of 60% glass at ground level and 40% overall are excessive and would be difficult for many well-designed buildings to meet. In particular, the glazing standard drove both 300 East Main and the Alberta to the Appearance Commission for approval of alternative designs. Reducing the glazing requirement to more practical levels would allow more projects to proceed without a need for alternative design process, no matter how that process is constituted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. I predict you did a better job than staff would have in presenting that. Thank you.
I want to just be clear both for Lauren and, you know, if anyone else on the Appearance Commission might be watching or if they get a report that what drove this idea a year and a half ago was not any concern about how the Appearance Commission was doing its job or the appropriateness of you as reviewers for projects. But what we discovered with 300 East Main was, and the minutes are in our packet, you could see the public comment there, lots and lots of people came out with concerns about that project, and that wasn't the first time. And the fact is, the citizens are not tuned in to the Appearance Commission as a review body and to the schedule of the Appearance Commission. They're tuned in to what we do here. And the design of buildings is one of the things that gets the most public attention, and it tends to happen right at the time of the public hearing when people hear about it, they know what's going on. And that's why that we felt like on projects of a certain scale, or certainly I felt since I initiated this question, that we need to have the ability to respond to the concerns raised by the citizens at that time. And this is the way to do it. And that's why I appreciate the staff writing this up so simply, and I support this language that's before us. So I guess not hearing anyone else commenting, I will move the...
I would just want to come behind Dan and say, you know, it really did not have to do with the Appearance Commission and the valuable work that you do. It really has to do with the fact that, you know, the last man back is us. And when concerns come up, they come to us and they come directly to us. And it makes it much more streamlined for us to be able to directly respond to constituents.
Well, if I might say, you have a lot of existing power to approve or not approve projects, regardless of the downtown standards. So I might suggest you just not change the process for the downtown standards, because that will force additional presentations for less controversial projects, if there was ever such a thing. But also I might say that the best thing to do is to cut the glazing requirement, because it was the glazing requirement which brought at least those two projects, the Alberta and 300 East Main, to the Appearance Board for the whole alternative design process. They would be controversial, well, 300 East Main would be controversial with or without the alternative design process.
Is that a position that your board has taken as a whole, or have you all discussed that?
About on the glazing?
Is this your personal opinion?
It's my personal opinion, and I've said, yeah, that makes sense, sort of comments from the rest of the board.
You know,
we have not discussed it in any sort of organized manner.
Can I jump in and suggest maybe could you pursue the question of whether your board would like to take that position and
sure.
Send forward formally that advice from your board, because we'll, I guess, consider whether to take a look at that based on
happy to do.
We'll be here.
Yes, that was what I was going to suggest as well. I think that would be great. And we, you know, we certainly welcome that kind of input and, you know, and move forward from
what
there.
What do I know about glazing standards?
50% sounds good.
So, if I may, I will move the resolution of consistency with the suggested change Trish has up there, reflecting Vision 2020.
Second. All right. It's been moved and seconded for the resolution of consistency with the language change to reference Vision 2020. Are people ready to vote on that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
The ordinance has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Okay.
Thank you, Trish.
Thanks, Trish.
We are on it calls for a break, but let's not do it. We're on item
B1. Is that our last item?
B1. Banking services contract, and then legislative breakfast, adoption of legislative breakfast date.
All right. And are we having a closed session before we do B1, or is that?
The manager's trying to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I would ask, instead of the break, that, or maybe in addition to the break, that the board consider a closed session to discuss a personnel matter before considering the other items on the printed agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do that now. You want to have the closed session?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Is there a motion for the board to go into closed session?
We need the purpose.
for personnel.
Personnel.
So moved.
All right, moved here, seconded down there. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
So moved.
I just want you to know I probably won't be able to make that, just because.
But any weekday, you can make it, right?
Well, no, not exactly, but that one for sure. Yeah.
However, it is the only date that
Bill Faison, right? I understand.
Identify. Okay.
Is there a preference for the start time on that?
Yeah, if you started earlier, I could do it.
If you start earlier, I can't be there. Oh, it's a Monday, though, right?
It's a Monday.
Yeah, so I could be there early.
7:30? Could you be there at 7:30 then? 8.
Early. I could be there, you know, if we started like 7:15. Is that too early?
That's not every
day. I can.
If you start at 7:30, I'll see if I can come for part of it.
Okay.
I think we usually start at
7:30.
We do start pretty early on that one.
Okay, moved April 12th, 7:30.
All right. All those in favor, seconded where? I'm sorry.
Please.
It doesn't mean
it doesn't matter.
By all means.
Seconded by Joel Brown.
Sorry.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I suppose. The matter passed unanimously. All right. Is there a motion to recuse Alderman Brown from
second.
Go recuse yourself and watch the
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Passed unanimously. All right. Now, on this banking services contract, Mr. Manager, could you tell, or do you know, or can you readily determine how long the quotes for this, these cost of services and terms of services are good?
I don't know, but we have representatives from BB&T and Harrison Bank here, and they might recall.
You can come up to the podium for a second.
This is Bridget Cook with Harrison.
I believe this was going to be for a three-year agreement, but in terms of the cost of our services.
Yeah, in other words, but I guess my point is you've worked up a sort of offer to provide these services, and we're not completely staffed in this department. We're down one employee right now, and I think there may be some other matters that factor into our decision making on this issue that result in that we might not be ready to decide tonight. And I'm wondering kind of how long we have from your perspective to make such a decision.
I think that we can definitely be patient with all of you in terms of making this decision. It's an important decision, and so I think that the proposal that we've given will stand, and the terms that we've laid out will.
And you're from BB&T, is that right?
I'm from Harrington Bank. I apologize.
And you're from BB&T.
Yes, sir.
And your attitude is similar.
Same thing.
Okay.
The fee structure is very standard.
Okay.
It's standing for you right now.
Okay. Mr. Manager, or members of the board, may I suggest, I think our next regular, we determined already that our next regular business meeting is 3 weeks from tonight.
Right, March 16th.
Okay. I would like to request that we delay this item at least until March 16th and decide on March 16th how to proceed.
Do you need a motion for that, or can we?
I think that would be appropriate if...
And Steve, are you comfortable with them coming back on March 16th?
I'm fine. Again, as long as Harrington and BB&T are fine with that, then we're okay with that.
So we don't mean to be too Hamlet-like, but.
So moved.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. All right. We appreciate y'all's flexibility. Okay.
Thanks.
That's your birthday,
Lydia?
Yes.
Oh. Happy birthday. Okay. Are there any other matters from the staff?
Just a reminder, the retreat Sunday, starting with lunch at noon.
And we're going to be meeting at the Senior Center? No.
Owosso.
At the Owosso.
Good thing you asked.
Yeah, that's where
the community room, because we couldn't get the Senior Center for Sunday afternoon.
The community, like the downstairs?
Right, the one downstairs.
They got a shuffleboard table set up. Okay. All right. With that, then...
Can I just...
Oh, yes, sir.
I just wanted... I sent you all an email wondering if we could consider for members of the ESC to provide some funds. There's the Business Alliance for Local Living Economy Conference that's in Charleston in May.
It's in May.
Mm-hmm. And...
Sweet. And there's some money in the in your advisory board budget, but not quite enough to cover. Is that right?
Steve was saying it's in our contingency budget.
You all have a budget for conferences. Mm-hmm. I don't think to this point, I don't think anything's been spent. So. Well,
the thing about this
have
particular,
two going to the same conference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Other than that, but there. When Sammy asked me about it, he said I think about around $1,000, and there's. If the board chose to do it, there are adequate funds in the board's budget to do that.
Yeah, because it's in Charleston, it means people can carpool down there, and so the transportation is there wouldn't be any flight involved, I assume, and the rooms are $35 a night,
what?
So it's really
in Charleston.
Where
they're staying at some.
They're
staying in a dorm.
Stay in a dorm.
We stayed in a dorm.
We stayed in a dorm in Boston
2 years ago.
Okay. And it was fine.
And there's the party. Yeah.
Well, we need to either take action on this matter right now or else take it up. Well, I guess we could take it up briefly at our
Sure.
I never use mine. I'd be welcome. I mean, we don't each have a...
I'd like to do it tonight just so we can let the ESC members know to start thinking about it. And if they want to get registered, they can. Also, there's the possibility that if we got enough people going, that we get a group discount. And that would help also. So if you all don't mind, I'll make a motion that we allocate up to $1,200 to support a $400, what would we call it, stipend for up to 3 ESC members to go. So if only one goes, we're only going to spend $400. If only two goes, we'll spend $800. Mm-hmm. And I kind of doubt 3 will go.
Or less.
Yeah, I second.
Okay. Any other comments from any quarters on that? Okay. I think this is a pretty unusual action for us. I mean, I can't think of a time, at least while I've been involved, when we've sent advisory board members to conferences. And I think because of the important subject matter and the fact that we have, as a town, made a policy decision that we're pursuing the Bali strategy and that it makes sense to me, but I don't particularly want to see this as setting a precedent for this type of thing.
Right, in making the motion, I'm assuming something we're not going to do for a few weeks, but I'm assuming that after we get the presentation from the task force on the 9th, that we're going to give some responsibility to ESC for kind of ongoing
right.
Follow up on those recommendations, and that's why I think this could be some very important background for some of those folks.
Valuable in that regard, I think, for people on the ESC to go to the Bali conference to.
I can see the value in it. I'm just trying to address the point that I think we've really very specifically committed to ourselves to a particular economic development strategy, and we've also said that it's a high priority for our community to do it. So right. I'm comfortable with it for that reason, but that's also going to be the reason that I'm not going to support something like that for various other advisory boards that might have some other fairly mm-hmm. worthwhile
like,
sorts of conferences that they might be
interested
in. Commission
members to the National Glazing Conference.
it's not going to happen.
I would like to ask that whoever goes, because I know these decisions are usually made at an annual meeting, that Carborough, along with Chapel Hill and the university, would be a great site for a Bali conference.
Sure.
And there's a lot of benefit, both in information mm-hmm. and in commercial benefit, for us to do that. So if we could do a little bit of hustling while we're down there and
I think that's a great.
Yeah, as soon as that hotel's built, we'll be ready.
Well, no, I mean, there are dorms.
Right.
That, you know, maybe empty during that time. And
the visitor center to help make something.
And they're, all, they're already all excited about Carpenter.
Well, they should be. Yeah. Chapel Hill's okay, too. You know? Mm-hmm. And our university does.
Well, it. Hopefully, hopefully Chapel Hill will figure it out sooner or later. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously. Mr. Manager, if there's some more detailed ordinance amendment or something like that that we need to do, adopt to operationalize that, please bring it to
I'll
us.
Double check, but I don't think there will be.
Thanks very much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.